Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming Manny infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
Madnin!
Madnin!
Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal.
Okay.
Hey, Bunty. Welcome back. Welcome back to listeners again. So, Bunty, I thought for our second story today, your suggestion of doing something about related to an event in the U.S. would be very interesting. And this is, the former quarterback of the 49ers, Colin Kaepernick. What happened is that a couple of years ago, Kaepernick did not stand with his hand over his heart while the American anthem was being played before a football game. But he said he's going to take a knee. And this was as a protest against the brutality, ongoing brutality, police brutality against black people, particularly black men. And what's happened is, long story short, that, Kaepernick was cut from the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, I watched him very closely for a couple of years. He was at the peak of his form then. And while he's not been at the peak of his form for a while, there is no way he ranks worse than some of the quarterbacks in the league. But essentially, the long and short of it is that no one is hiring him because of political consequences. Nike has taken a very positive stand and, has come out in support of Kaepernick. So there's two issues here. One, I will just say generally that, my wife pointed this out yesterday that, as always, the liberals are, finding some conspiracy. They're saying that, look, Nike is commodifying this, etc., and making money. Be that as it may, and given that Nike has a history of sweatshops, etc., I personally think Nike's done a courageous thing. The second point, which is really the focus of our discussion, though, and we can, weave both together, is what you highlighted, which is, would an Indian sportsman do something like this? And the other historical example that comes to mind, of course, is Cassius Clay or Muhammad Ali, not refusing to basically fight in Vietnam and losing, giving up the three of his best years.
Look, in sports, there are lots of, not lots, there are a few notable moments where the sports combines with political protest, right? You've called out Muhammad Ali. Then there was that famous Mexico Olympics Black Power, Black Panther salute.
Right.
That happened.
Yeah.
I the image that I mean, where the guy puts his hand up as the national anthem was being sung.
Right.
And then again, this Kaepernick incident, which Nike is obviously, creating an ad around. And it's created a lot of commentary in social media circles. And that's why I thought it would be a topical conversation to have. But primarily because just to see that over a period of time, the culture of protest in America still is along the racial fault line, which is interesting, that nothing really has moved on in the last 40, 45 years. I say that flippantly, not being very plugged in. But quite a lot of the things that were topical when Muhammad Ali refused to fight in Vietnam, oppression of people of color, etc., and then in the Olympics later on, and then now, there seems to be a continuity. But look, I'm not an expert on American race relations. My question was, if things are happening in India, which is against public decency, would any of our cricketers, hockey stars, footballers have the kind of kahunas to take a stand? Or is the kind of separation from politics and sports something that's enforced in India? What do you think?
So I'll put it this way. First, it's hard being a celebrity and doing this anywhere. It's especially hard in India, because in India, forget the political issue. When India, if we lose a semi-final or something like that, you have television sets being smashed, you know, people outside Dhoni's house or some other cricketer's house creating havoc. So I get that. I get that it's very hard. And I get that, you know, like we have, for instance, you know, we are two guys who just run this podcast and we have the privilege of criticizing the government or talking about these things. That said, I find this idea that, you know, sport should not be political a very naive idea, and it's a very convenient idea for sports people or public figures not to engage with, you know, any public issue. I mean, if you're a public figure, you're still a citizen of India, you live in the country, and anything that affects large numbers of people is a genuine political issue, and you have a stake in it. It's not something that you can, you know, just leave to formally elected members, because these are decisions that impact a large number of people. And, you know, there's the question of citizenship, and there's also a question of basic human decency. I don't think Indian cricketers have sports people have a very good record, by and large. And I'll just give you one example. If it is true, here's my point, right? If it is the case that sportspersons should be apolitical, why are the likes of Virat Kohli and others, Sehwag, why are they promoting the Modi government? How come that is not marked as being political? That's being patriotic. I mean, Virat Kohli is a fantastic batsman and it's a pleasure watching him play. But what on earth does he know about demonetization? I mean, why does he come out, you know, praising demonetization? It's like, as I want, you know, shared on Twitter, it's like Manmohan Singh, you know, giving Kohli tips on how to face the outswinging ball in English conditions. So it's okay for these people to be political when it comes to praising Modi's policies, which is a kind of pound of flesh that Modi demands from all celebrities, or Modi piling on to Virat Kohli and Anushka Sharma's wedding. But if it comes to taking a stand about attacks on, you know, minorities, Muslims, Dalits, then they are both, you know, hounded, and then they're also told not to be political. So that, to me, is a massive contradiction. And I don't think we have public figures, whether it's cricketers, whether it's Bollywood actors, barring a few. I mean, there's a few female actors of a younger generation who've really been courageous about some of these issues. But barring that, I don't think our sportspersons, celebrities in general, you know, really have the courage to take on the government.
I don't want to cross the Venn diagrams. Celebrities is another thing, because, you know, that's, I was primarily focusing on sports stars, and I can't think of, anyway, we have a long tradition of sports stars kind of towing the establishment. So I remember Gavaskar, Kapil Dev, Kapil Dev in particular, turned the whole World Cup victory into a massive testament, a kind of a pro-government number. But nominally, that was excusable because it was the first thing of consequence that India had won, which got media attention in a sporting event. And then since then, there's been incidents around tennis, athletics, shooting, where sporting achievement has been appropriated by the party in power. And the athlete, the only person I think who nominally stood apart was Anubhav Bindra. When he won the shooting gold, he basically very quickly put out a narrative that this is because my father, an independent businessman, had the money to support me, and therefore I did. So he kind of completely pulled ranks with whatever the nominal association that was trying to garner credit. So I think that the pattern is to brown nose and, you know, just line up with the government or people in power. Politicians appreciate that. I don't know whether Anubhav Bindra is a fair example, but you're right. Our general conclusion is that it would be very difficult to pull something like this in India. Can you imagine somebody taking a stand in the field of play saying that I will wear a black ribbon because, you know, people are being lynched, or, you know, people are being forcibly converted, or whatever it is, right?
You know, and I think the closest, I mean, it's interesting. Ravichandra Ashwin had made a comment about, you know, against communalizing cricket, excuse me, or something to that effect on Twitter. And I think that was, you know, it was a very well-articulated statement, very well taken. When communal violence broke out in Sri Lanka, the Sri Lankan cricket team came out and made a very strong statement. So that to me was, you know, very, very heartening. But I think, is there some particular cravenness and cowardice about Indians? Because, you know, on the one hand, these people say that, oh, because we are prominent figures, you know, our families will come under risk and threat. But you look at the people who stand up to the government, they are ordinary citizens. They have a lot more to lose. They have a lot fewer resources. And yet they are able to stand up and often win. And, you know, they put themselves at risk. So why can't these cricketers, sportspersons, do something? And I'm focusing on cricketers because cricketers are the most privileged of all our sports people. And I'm thinking that, you know, forget the wider kind of political issues, even about match fixing. You have a number of very, very prominent Indian cricketers who knew it was going on, but they kept their mouths shut because, you know, they were just worried that, you know, they would, they didn't want to get embroiled in a controversy. They didn't want their careers to be spoiled. I have a very, you know, sort of well-respected senior and expert sort of journalist and authority on cricket telling me this about, you know, one of the very prominent Indian cricketers who retired a few years ago, just refusing to get his hands dirty. Manoj Prabhakar, of all people, did speak out about match fixing, but, you know, Prabhakar's own role in it is a little dubious. The story goes that it's possible that he was getting cut out of the action. So, yes, I completely agree with you. And to me, it's kind of, you know, disheartening that it's one of the ways in which we should be political. We are very political people otherwise, but it's odd that us, you know, sports people don't anyone in the limelight generally, but sports people don't kind of take a stand.
Okay, chalo, we've talked about this. Let's wrap it up and let's convene for another one soon. Chalo, take care.
Take care.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Rohit and Bunty would like to sign off. Please stay tuned. Follow us on India Explained on Twitter. Keep listening. Thank you for all your support.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.